Rank them 1 to 5.
I've got the power.
NFL Power Rankings.
Can I just read a couple of things real quickly before we get to the power rankings? Because I don't even know where this came from. From Lindy, did I miss any name talk? Really hoping you'll get to the latest on the Wetzel family and the logo. Honestly, I don't know what the latest is. No, you didn't miss any name talk on the show. But if there's an update to the Wetzel logo situation or the Montana senator, the RK site bill.
They honored him.
I'm sorry?
They honored him this past weekend. There's like a, not a vigil per se, but there's like a portion of the segment that, or a stadium that has all of the stuff with the history of the logo itself, and an honoring of the guy that made the logo. So it's a lot of that stuff that happened this weekend.
See how much I'm paying attention to it?
Yeah, it was posted
all over
Twitter.
I'm glad they did that. Does that mean they've cleared the obstacle along with the Montana senator, Senator Daines, I think his name is? And are we just worried about Van Hollen now?
I don't know if it officially means that. I think there were still some hurdles because there was like an argument of, well, they think they love this, but it might not be enough still. So there's still a lot there.
So, well, that's good. I had no idea. Thanks for bringing that up, Lindy. Appreciate it. And then I don't know where this came from, but I was just, you know, scrolling down as I do during the show usually. From Johnny, stop talking about the name. At this point, go root for Baltimore if the name's still an issue for you. Have we talked about the name in 3 weeks? Seriously, since the season started?
We haven't talked about the name since like early August.
No. Probably mid to late August. But I don't think we've had one moment since the season started that we've talked about the name. But let me just say this, Johnny, all due respect, go pound sand, dude. Okay, because that's the lecturing and the attitude for people who care about the name, who care about a rebrand, to just at this point go root for somebody else. You know, shut the you-know-what up. No one's telling you to pipe down that it's not an issue to you. Don't tell people that it is an issue to pipe down. Okay, everybody's entitled to feel the way they feel. This is an emotional issue. There's nothing logical or practical about it. It's emotional. You can't tell somebody, oh, don't have that emotion. But what's even worse is go root for Baltimore. Just so stupid to approach it that way. I mean, we get too much of that going on in the country. Like, you know, as long as you believe in what I believe in, you can go ahead and speak. All right, let's get to the power rankings, Denton, because they are hard after 2 weeks of the season. I mean, this is not easy right now to come up with a top five and then maybe a couple of other teams to keep your eye on. But I'm going to go in order of number one down to five this time, because I think it's easy at the top. It's KC number one. I don't think it's easy after that. I think you could still make the case it's the 49ers number two, despite their loss. They were banged up going into that game. And they're going to be banged up here for a little while in San Francisco. I mean, no McCaffrey, no Debo. That's a big deal. But I still personally think the 49ers are one of the two or three best teams in the league. But for this week, I'm going to go Buffalo number two. I think we've seen something different that we not something different. I think we've seen something already with Buffalo that is encouraging for those that thought they may take a step back. And I think it's James Cook as much as it's anything else. And the reliance on a run game. I mean, Josh Allen in the game against Miami only threw 19 passes. In the win, the comeback win over Arizona, usually when you're down 14 points in a game, you'll end up with a quarterback with 35-plus pass attempts. It's not how they got back in the game. He only threw 23 times, down 17-3. I like Buffalo right now as number two. Number three, despite the loss, I'm still leaving the 49ers there at number three. I'm a big believer in the 49ers when healthy. They may not be the third best team in the league this week, but this is our feeling on who the best teams are you know, and who they will continue to be. I've got the 49ers at 3. At this point, I can't keep New Orleans out. When you score 91 points and 44 of them against Dallas on the road, a team that I think most people think is a good defensive team, not to mention the fact that they basically got all 44 or 41 of the points in their first, you know, early into the third quarter. They had 35 at halftime. A team that is that explosive. Couple of things just to keep in mind about New Orleans here early. Number one is Clint Kubiak, the new OC. Number two is they've got a very good and a very physical offensive line. Their runners aren't getting hit until they're 3, 4, 5 yards downfield. Some of these numbers on yards before contact for guys like Alvin Kamara, etc., are ridiculous. Their O-line is legit, and their defense was good last year and pretty well coached. And then at number 5, man, I mean, look, 2, 3, 4, 5, it's up there, but I'm going to give you a team right now. Despite my criticism earlier in the show that I didn't like him sort of lecturing Caleb Williams with the cameras and the mics there at halftime, or at the end of the game, excuse me, CJ Stroud can sling it, man. He can sling it, and Houston's good. And I've got the Texans at number 5. But, you know, 4 and 5 for me, I had 7 or 8 teams that were possibilities. That's my top 5, Denton. What's yours?
So I will do the same, go from 1 to 5. Our 1 and 2 is the same in that order. It's the Chiefs at number 1. It's the Buffalo Bills at number 2. Now, I am very curious as the season progresses, and we'll see Buffalo again on Monday night, or I guess we will eventually see the highlights because they're playing just about the same time our team is playing. But they will need a wide receiver. You know, they've won the first 2 games, and they've done it with Josh Allen playing Superman, and then with the Tua injury, you know, who kind of knows what happens in that game if he stays healthy, although their defense was doing a really good job. They eventually will need a wide receiver to step up and be a legitimate, you know, pass-catching threat, which they have not had to have so far. So when that day comes, I'm curious to see, is that Curtis Samuel? Is it Keon Coleman? Do they just do the tight end set like the Patriots in 2011? There's a lot of questions still remaining with Buffalo, but right now they are number 2 for me. Number 3 is a team that you did not have in yours that I think very highly of. I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The way they beat Detroit, really the way they held Detroit to 16 points.
How did they beat Detroit? That game was on simultaneously with our game. It's one of those games I haven't gone back and spent much time looking at even, you know, some of the write-ups of it. How did they beat the Lions when they were really banged up going into that game on defense?
They were not only just banged up on defense. If you look at every statistical category, at least the ones that your eyes naturally gravitate towards, they got shredded everywhere.
I know.
I mean, Detroit was putting up enough offensive yardage to think that they would have hung like 35 on this team, but the Buccaneers did a really good job of keeping them not just off of out of the end zone, but off the scoreboard, period. They showcased in the first 2 weeks that they can win in very different ways, and that to me is really, really, really important, and I kind of like what Baker Mayfield is doing. So I have them at number 3. At number 4, I have the New Orleans Saints for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned. Now, we'll see what they do this week against Philly. I think there is some sort of argument to be made. You take on the Carolina Panthers, who are awful. We know that. You beat Dallas, and I don't know how we feel about Dallas. Like, the first 2 weeks, they are seemingly a question mark, so to speak. I don't think their offense has been particularly good. Jerry says they're just getting the bad out of the way now so they can win the Super Bowl. LOL. But the Saints against Philadelphia, Philly coming off of that loss, you're really going to learn a lot about them this week. So I'm excited about that, but I have them at number 4. And then I have the San Francisco 49ers at number 5. Now, losing Debo for a couple of weeks and losing Christian McCaffrey for a couple of weeks certainly stinks, but thank God you paid $30 million to one Brandon Ayuk. So congratulations to that.
I'm looking at the Tampa Bay. I'm reading just a couple of things about the game. Obviously, Detroit had some turnovers in the game that ended drives that set up short fields for Tampa to score on. Tampa had one of their scoring drives. Hold on. Where is it? 4 plays, 7 yards, you know, after an interception early in the game. But God, you look at the, just even the box score, Detroit, 463 yards of offense. That's not garbage yards. This game's a one-score game throughout. They ran 83 plays to Tampa's 47. I think we mentioned that on Monday. How often do you have 36 more offensive snaps than your opponent and you lose? That's crazy.
Especially when the opponent was 2 of 10 on, like, Tampa was 2 of 10 on third down and still won this game.
2 of 10 on third down. They punted 5 times, but they didn't turn the ball over. No, they did. They turned the ball over once. Excuse me. They did turn the ball over. How did Detroit lose this game? That's one of those games that when for those of you that have the NFL.com and the All-22 package, you don't go back and watch the All-22. You go back and watch like the 33-minute condensed version of the game to get a feel for it. That's wild that they lost that game. I'll tell you what, Tampa's one of the biggest public plays of the weekend this weekend against Denver. So tricky spot for them. I don't have a problem with any. I consider Tampa Bay completely for one of the top 5 spots, and I considered the Chargers for one of the top 5 spots. I considered Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's an interesting team right now, Denton, because they're lights out defensively, and they get the chart. God, there are some good 1 o'clock games Sunday. All right, Texans, Vikings, all right, 2-2-0 teams. Eagles at Saints, Chargers at Steelers. Good 1 o'clock window on Sunday. And then you get Ravens, Cowboys as the highlight game in the afternoon. Although in the same 4:25 spot on Fox Sunday afternoon, Lions at Cardinals. I mean, what if the Cardinals win that game? And the Lions drop to 1-2, and the Cardinals are 2-1, and the Cardinals could have easily been 3-0. Because they had a shot at Buffalo in the opener. I didn't like the Cardinals at all before this season started. You did, though. I think you were much more optimistic about Kyler Murray and the Cardinals this year.
For the first half of the season. We'll see how the second half goes. But he tends to play really well the first 8 weeks of the year.
There are some desperation spots this week, man. You know, the Ravens and the Bengals in particular. I mean, it's got to feel like, given the expectations, must win for both of those teams. I'd say the same for the Rams, but they're just not fielding a full team at this point, and they've got the 49ers at home, and they're a 7-point underdog. Like the 49ers, this is a big spot for them after losing in week 2. But the Jags, massive spot for them, you know, because there were some expectations. But in terms of... there are some teams where it's going to feel like we got to win. Baltimore, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, Dallas and Philly, to a certain degree, and they're playing two teams that are desperate. Some big spots this week, because we know what the numbers are at 0-2. The numbers are much worse at 0-3. Now, we don't have these numbers long enough on a 17-game regular season schedule. There is a difference between 16 and 17 in terms of the, 0-2, what that equates to playoff, probability. Same with an 0-3 start. 0-3 is pretty deadly, though, even I would imagine with a 17-game slate. And the Ravens could be staring at 0-3. And then we talked about this, Bills and Bengals after that. And then they get Washington. Imagine if Washington gets to Baltimore and the Ravens are 0-5. Seriously. Like, that's not an impossibility. They could lose at Dallas, they could lose to Buffalo, and they could lose at Cincinnati. I would imagine they're going to get at least one of those. But what if they're 1-4 hosting Washington? Crazy early part of the NFL schedule. All right, here's a team that I didn't have in the top 5, but I could see them working their way into the top 5. And that is not Tampa, that's too obvious. And maybe you'll say this is too obvious too, but I'm really interested in watching the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they right now are a dominant defensive team, and I think that they've got a playmaker at quarterback, and they're not asking him to do that much. And this game at home against the Chargers on Sunday, then they got the Colts. That could be like a potentially a 4-0 start for Pittsburgh. I know that it feels different than the Tomlin teams that eke their way into a 9-8 record without any offense. It feels different through 2 weeks. I'll probably be proven wrong this week, but I think they're different offensively, and Pickens is developing into a star if you didn't think he was one already. Give me a team outside your top five that maybe is a bit of a sleeper, you know, top five team down the road.
This one is reaching a bit, Kevin, so bear with me. It's Washington. The expectation this weekend is that they're going to get their teeth kicked in. That CJ, the Bengals are going to be the CJ Stroud to Washington's Caleb Williams, right? It's going to be big brother, little brother. Well, if Washington beats Cincinnati, and then we talked about their first 6 weeks to a massive degree so far this season with some of the other opponents that they have on the schedule, if they beat Cincinnati and they're 2-1, and then they start to kind of pick up wins that maybe aren't penciled in as wins, like if they beat the Ravens, if they beat the Cleveland Browns, if they start picking up some of these wins, we're going to be looking at this team completely different. Now, is that going to happen? Is that realistic? I don't know, but it really just starts with Cincinnati, and they're the biggest underdog of the week this week in the NFL. Everybody thinks that they'd beat the worst team in football, one of the worst teams in football, in the Giants. If they get a win against Cincinnati, a team that's desperate, and you can't fake desperation, but if they beat a desperate team at home on Monday Night Football?
Yeah, but you're throwing a lot of ifs.
Well, of course.
This is a prediction not based on an if. This is your prediction that Washington is going to be in your top five at some point during the season when we do power rankings on Thursday.
I could say,
is that what you're telling me?
I'm going to still stand with it, yeah.
Okay. I just think that is, I mean, all this, I mean, I love it. I love the optimism. You know, I want to be right about my 10-7 wild out there prediction preseason. I don't think I'm going to be right based on the defensive performance against the Giants in particular. It's early. I'm hoping that side of the ball improves. But you just said out loud that you think there's a pretty good chance you're going to have Washington in your top five in your NFL power rankings at some point.
Yeah, they got to win, but yeah, if they start winning, definitely.
Well, yeah, they got to win.
Yeah.
If they're not, but you're expecting them to win.
Yeah.
Enough to for them to eventually. I'm not even willing to go that far.
My expectation right now is that they're going to be 3-2 by the time the Ravens game takes place.
They're going right from Cincinnati Monday night to Arizona. They're not coming back. I think that's a good move, you know, because it's a short, you know, week. And they go to Arizona a week from Sunday to face the Cardinals. Then they're back at home against the Browns. But then after that game against the Ravens, Panthers, Bears, Giants, three straight weeks in a row, end of October into the first weekend of November. Again, it's not smart to look ahead and to start diagnosing schedule strength in the NFL after 2 weeks. But the Panthers, Bears, and Giants in a three-week stretch, you know, that's not the Chiefs, 49ers, and you know,
and Bills.
Texans.
Yeah.
Or Bills. We know it won't be that. Yeah, Monday night's just a massive opportunity. It's a massive opportunity. They definitely can, you know, win this game. I don't think most people think that, but I do. And I think that the model for winning it is essentially what we saw on Sunday, and that is possessing the football and keeping the defense on the sidelines and keeping the number of possessions and the number of snaps that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and perhaps T. Higgins, who may play Monday night. He's missed the first two games of the year with a hamstring injury. Limit their number of opportunities. And, you know, and by the way, I understand they didn't get it in the end zone against the Giants, and you'd probably say, well, they have to get it into the end zone against the Bengals. I would agree with that. But you can't start, you know, willy-nilly going for fourth and fives, you know, when you have struggled to perhaps throw the football on third or fourth down. You got to run the football, which I think they can do against Cincinnati. I don't think Cincinnati defensively in their front seven is as good as the Giants are. So the opportunity to run the football, Cincinnati Monday night, I think is there.
Real quickly, just along those lines, you can get Brian Robinson over 50.5 right now for the prop. If anyone is interested in that market, they just dropped today.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is their first legit, you know, it's a high-profile spot because it's Monday Night Football. I think they were a 3-point dog, 3.5-point dog at Tampa Bay. There was an expectation before the opener that these teams were kind of similar. Not true. Tampa's better. You know, and Tampa should have been perceived as better than just, you know, a field goal or slightly more than a field goal at home, better than Washington. But this is the first, you know, chance for them to really do something that nobody's expecting them to do. And it's the third game. And I for whatever reason, I am very optimistic that they're going to continue to get better on offense. And we've already seen a big jump from week one to week two. By the way, I do have, remember yesterday we talked about the penalty that on the kickoff following the first field goal against the Giants, and what was that penalty? I do have information on that. It did not come from any of you, the listeners. I don't think it did. I didn't see it. I looked for a while to see if anybody sent it in. But I don't think any of us knew why Nick Ballore got penalized on the kickoff following the first field goal. I got an answer to that. I also have potentially some just information from last week that I think translates to this coming week about what they liked that they did and what they think they can do against Cincinnati. We'll do that. Dan Quinn is scheduled to speak on this Thursday. We'll carry that live when and if he starts talking. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.